Hello, my name is Kevin Cook. I am the Director of Communications with the City of Lakeland, and you are watching our August, almost said September.
But it's right around the corner.
Our August edition of Access Live. And with me here in the epicenter of our studios is...
The beautiful studios.
Yes, Tony Delgado, our City Manager. Tony, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Kevin, as always. Appreciate being here.
Well, we have some big things happening coming up, and one is some new times for the commission meetings.
Yeah, you know, the commission's been talking about this for a number of years. This past year, they opined on the facts that they wanted to give our citizenry, the residents, the businesses, an opportunity to spend a little more time with them at city commission meetings and really have available time to go ahead and do it. So we're going to be moving our city commission meetings starting in September, our first meeting right after Labor Day, to 3 p.m.
Yes.
So the business at hand will take place between 3 and roughly 4:30, hopefully 5 o'clock. And then they'll open up to public discussion as we normally do the audience portion, which is really good for those who work regular hours, who might have things to do during the day that they couldn't make a 9 o'clock meeting. So it's going to give, I hope, those interested in the business at hand, as well as just having an opportunity to speak to the commission, some time at the end of the day, at the end of the meetings, to go ahead and do that.
So we have a goal that our citizenry is informed and engaged. This is just one way that we're working on.
There's been a lot of folks who've asked for this in the community. They say, you know, they can't come at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning. They've got school, or they got businesses to run, or they got to be at work. This is going to give them a chance, hopefully, at the end of the day, to be able to come down and voice their opinions with the city commission. And if there are specific pieces of business at hand, things that they want to be involved in or things that they have questions or comments on, hopefully this will give them some time at the end of the day to do that too.
So to clarify, we're going to start the meetings at 3, and that assists a lot of those when we have architects and lawyers or whatever during normal business hours to conduct their business.
Yeah, folks that do normal business between 8 to 5, 8 to 6, we'll still be able to meet with the commission, discuss their issues during the normal business hours. Hopefully, that will keep cost to our clients and business development community and those who are interested, keep their cost down.
Right. And then the audience portion, will that come at the end of the meeting?
Yes, it'll come at the end of the meeting. So it could start as early as 4:30, it could start as late as, who knows, 6 o'clock.
And typically our meetings lately have been going 3.5-ish hours. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at probably finishing up about 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, 5:30, 6 o'clock. The commission will still give the three-minute time period, a five-minute time period, depending upon the subject. If there's some specific subject, at times we have to lower the amount of time someone can speak because of the amount of people that want to speak. But normally it's a five-minute time period that anyone will have an opportunity to speak to the commission at the end of the meeting.
So
on any subject.
Our first meeting that starts at 3 p.m. will be Tuesday, September 4th, because of the holiday.
Every day holiday.
Yep. Typically we meet the first and third Monday of the month, but when a holiday falls on a Monday,
we move it to Tuesday.
And our agenda study sessions will not be affected.
No, they'll still be Fridays at 8:30 in the morning. They are open to the public, those who want to come. They are held in the chamber conference room, not in the main chamber.
Right.
There will be times, though, I suspect that when we have major events or major discussions, such as we had a few years back when we were talking about the marijuana citation issue,
sure,
those will be held in separate forum more than likely, but those will be few and far between.
So we had a Facebook post from Thomas about excessive growth around Southeastern University. I don't know if we're going to be able to control that, Thomas. That's just one of those things as that university continues to grow. But I will turn over your one comment about speed limits to our Lakeland Police Department.
No, I agree.
They were scheduled to be here today, but because of first day of school, and we've got officers in schools today, and their initiative, they stand out in front of the schools and warn everyone about school safety and traffic safety. So we'll get the chief or someone in here, representative from LPD, in here for next month, I promise you, and we can discuss that further.
Yeah, when it comes to speed limits, just to touch on anywhere in the city, if there's concerns, please don't hesitate to touch base with us. The police officers spend a little time, whether it's having officers patrol the area a little more vigorously at those times, or we also have electronic traffic signals that occasionally could be put up, depending on that. Now, if somebody's talking about wanting to do traffic calming devices or speed humps and those type of things, that's got a little more process to it. We have to get our traffic division involved.
And you need signatures from the neighborhood. There's a whole process.
Yeah, you got to have X amount of signatures right. from the neighborhood to do that. It's not unusual that we do it, but it's a longer process.
Right, right. So we first city commission meeting at 3 p.m. is coming up. It's right. going to be September 4th. We've touched base on that. It's not going to affect agenda study or utility committee meeting.
No,
utility
will still be 1 o'clock.
And all of our viewers out there, if you can't attend live, we always encourage you to tune in as it's happening live or as video on demand at lakelandgov.net. Next thing I want to get an update from you with, Tony, is the RP Funding Center. We got a lot going on there, and we got a new hotel.
Yeah, you know, we're moving into phase two of the RP Funding Center rehabilitation renovations, which are really going to key on the meeting space and
right.
key on the ballroom space and do those type of things that are going to enhance our ability to bring in conventions and meetings and trade shows and those type of things. We have the opportunity, and we've been working with a local developer to put up a second hotel at the center. And this would be a convention style hotel. It'll be a part of the Marriott chain, probably 150-ish rooms, so be it. It all depended on the final footprint of the property. But we're coming very, very close to finalizing all the details, and hopefully we can see construction start, if not later this year, early next year.
Well, that's exciting.
I think if somebody went out to the RP Funding Center here recently, you'll see a lot of work being done on the roadways. We've done some additional signalization and pedestrian enhancements on Lime Street so
right.
that when we take over this east parking lot, it's the east lot, but it's the lot closest to the Yuki Theater. When that lot becomes the hotel, there'll still be parking spaces there for primary for the hotel. We're going to have to go ahead and utilize that south lot, the one right behind the radio station, the one right adjacent to Blake Elementary. We'll have to utilize that south lot more and more. And in order to do that, we wanted to make sure pedestrians cross safely. And so just completed last week some very nice enhancements, including additional pedestrian, little bit of humps in the road to give the drivers an understanding of where the pedestrian crossing is.
Crosswalk improvements.
Yeah, new signalization,
right.
those type of things. But this is all a prelude to the new hotel coming up.
We also ran some infrastructure with water and wastewater lines.
And
yes,
that's
sir.
Why we had to close the street for about 2 weeks.
And we did.
And we ran water.
It's open now.
It's open now. And you'll have to go over that pedestrian crossing. You'll have a little hump there you have to go over. But this is all in prelude to the hotel. The hotel is going to be a wonderful, wonderful complement to what we currently have there, the Hyatt, as well as the RP Funding Center. It's going to give us roughly 300 plus rooms right on site, and that
right.
is really what meeting planners and entertainment folks are looking for.
So the goal for this is, well, obviously a hotel, they know they have the business there,
right.
they wouldn't build, they
right.
do their market research. But for the RP Funding Center, it's good news because they can go out and try to book those larger conventions and meetings.
Yeah, we're never going to get the convention the size of Orlando and Tampa. So
right.
I don't want anybody to think that tomorrow 5,000 people
right.
are going to come on into the city of Tampa, city of Lakeland. You're going to have traffic problems, those type of things. But this enhances our ability to get those meetings, statewide conventions, local associations that are going to bring 300 to 1,500 people. And those 1,500 people, those 300 people are going to spend money in our city. They stay longer. Most conferences, conventions are 2 and 3 days, so they'll stay longer. They'll utilize the hotel space. Hopefully they spend money in our restaurants and our retail and those type of things.
Right.
And that really will enhance what we're trying to do downtown.
So our viewers out there, a convention center, a multi-purpose facility such as the Lakeland,
RP
Funding Center, it really is an economic engine for
Absolutely.
The community.
Absolutely. You know, people talk about, are you making money? I hate to call it a loss leader, but most conference centers and convention centers are loss leaders, because really what they're doing is they're making sure that the bed tax is enhanced,
right.
more people staying in our community. They're making sure that all our businesses reap some benefit. So, yes, we're making money. Might be trickle-down, but we're making money for all those businesses and residents and those type of enhancements that are required. The Lakeland Center's getting rent. It's not like it's free.
Right.
But in order to do this, you have to be competitive. And so we're competing with other cities and conference and convention centers our size, and so we need to understand that we have to be competitive.
Well, there's an economic impact that our restaurants and our hotels, they definitely feel when we have events at the Lakeland Center.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And that all goes to enhancing the quality of life.
Sure. And the next thing, we have an upcoming budget meeting.
Yeah, we're budget. We're starting to wind down. A lot of discussion. We had an opportunity almost 2 weeks ago to present to the City Commission a final budget presentation based upon our strategic planning and our business planning meetings. So the Commission opined on that. They've held the millage rate currently where it's at. They've made some decisions about some expenditures going into next year. While it's not set in stone, our first budget meeting is going to be September 6th, I think at 6 p.m. Yep. In the main chamber. The Commission will then get an opportunity to take a look at a presentation on where we sit going into fiscal year 19. They don't vote at this one. They have questions, and if they want us to do some tweaks, this is the time to do it. And then we'll come back 2 weeks from then, present the final budget. That final budget, once it's ratified, then we know what our millage rate is, we know what our budget is going into fiscal year 19, we know what new expenditures are out there,
right.
And hopefully we know what our day's cash on hand will be. We're trying to maintain 45 to 60 days. That's a good cash reserve. It keeps us in good stead with those bonding agencies and those rating agencies, but it also keeps us in good stead from a rainy day fund in case in case we have visits from,
sure,
you know, a lady like Irma.
We don't want that.
2017.
So as our viewers may not realize, but we're on a fiscal year. Our fiscal year starts October 1, so we're on the wind down of our current fiscal year 18. It ends the end of September, and we have to have our budget ready for the new fiscal year in October 1. So the first budget hearing is September 6th at 6 p.m. here at the City Hall, City Commission Chambers at 228 South Massachusetts Avenue. Welcome you to come in. It's open to the public.
If you have comments, that's a great time to do them.
It is, and that's also a great time to hear some of the, first of all, you get a beautiful presentation by the city manager.
Wonderful graphics.
Yes, beautiful graphics. But you also get to hear some of the new initiatives set forth by the City Commission, the reasoning behind why the budget is what it is. So it keeps you informed on your local government, which is a good thing.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, Tony, thank you for all
you
do.
As
it's a pleasure,
nice
as always.
Again.
Yes, sir.
See you in September, everyone.
Yes, definitely.
Stay engaged.
Please, lakelandgov.net. Yep. And we're waiting for our next guest. So it's going to be Teresa Mayo.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. Teresa, how are you today?
Good, Kevin. How are you?
Fantastic. So Teresa is one of our very talented planners in the Community and Economic Development Department. That's recently new, so it's going to have to roll up my tongue a little bit better. And I want to thank you for being here.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So we recently had an issue that garnered a lot of City Commission discussion regarding building heights.
Yes.
So share with us exactly what the discussion was and where we are today. And I have some wonderful graphics if you need any assistance with your storytelling.
So last year, the City Commission had talked with the staff about increasing the building heights within certain parts of the community. And the goal was really to encourage developers to come in and maybe do some more residential units, taller buildings, maybe more urban looking like you'd see in some larger cities.
Sure. For so density, right?
More density, yes.
Right.
And they proposed a height, and the staff then went out to the community. We wanted to let the community know what the City Commission was talking about, because it would impact neighborhoods.
Right.
And after going through that process with the neighborhoods, we came back with a recommendation to the City Commission, and they voted to increase it, but not at the height that was originally approved, a little lower, something that the neighborhoods were more comfortable with. And what it means now is that if you have multifamily zoning within anywhere that's shown on this map, you can now have a building as tall as 55 feet,
right,
with the exception of the historic districts.
And what are we looking at here?
In this area here, this is a portion of Dixieland.
Right.
So up on the north portion of Dixieland, closer to downtown, and what's shown in the yellow is an area where the proposal is for 70 feet in this area. And so that was seen as a way to, again, allow taller buildings closer to downtown and not necessarily within the neighborhoods and close to residential, single-family residential uses.
And once again, the thought process for the taller buildings is for density. Mm-hmm. So if we would have had some of these rules in place in the early years, we may not have gotten the Marble Arcade built or some of our other larger downtown buildings.
Right. So historically, the taller buildings were in downtown Lakeland. And you always want to kind of keep that historic perspective of having
sure.
those taller, iconic buildings.
Sure.
But acknowledge that there's going to be future buildings that could become icons later on and be taller.
Was the proposal that as the building height grew, they had to change the top of the building had to, I don't even know, what's the proper terminology I'm looking for? Angle in?
It might be a pyramid. step in. Yeah.
Okay.
So you don't want to have a box that's, you know, just goes up straight. You want to have something that has a little bit of detail to it.
Okay.
And does step in, give some interest to the way the building looks.
So that's the reason for that?
Yes.
So aesthetics.
Yes.
And the approved building heights that we're looking at right now, could you go over that with us, please?
Sure. So I mentioned the multifamily zoning areas.
Sure.
So in those areas, 55 feet, except the historic districts. If you have office one zoning, you can again go up to 55 feet. In C2, which is usually, you see that along the major roadways, so South Florida Avenue, Memorial Boulevard, you can go up to 70 feet there now for multifamily. Within downtown, that's now been increased up to 120 feet on the outer edges of downtown, and then 70 feet within the center of downtown, so what's the Munn Park area, the Munn Park Historic District.
So for our viewers out there that we're talking about feet, but how many stories is that typically? So let's say a 50-foot building or 55-foot building, is that about four?
It's going to be about four stories.
Okay.
It really depends on the construction methods and, you know, how high the ceilings are in interior to the building, but it's about four stories.
Okay. So about 10 feet per story-ish.
10 to 12. That's a typical rule of thumb, yes.
All right. Okay. And when we first, because this was brought forth to the City Commission early and there's a great deal of discussion, what were some of the concerns of the neighborhoods, and then did staff listen and did we address those concerns?
Yes. So some of the concerns were very specific to the historic neighborhoods. And in those neighborhoods, you have a lot of smaller one, two-story structures.
Sure.
Bungalows. Yes. And so it was really those neighborhoods wanting to maintain the historic character and being fearful that a, you know, four or five, six-story building would really kind of dwarf their homes and not be able to be designed in the same way that their homes were designed.
And change the framework of the neighborhood.
Yes. So the staff and the commission did listen to their concerns and basically exempted out the historic districts. There are some areas, though, in Dixieland are historic along the commercial corridor, but again, those can go up to a higher building height now.
And what's the thought process of the overlay for Dixieland?
The thought process there is to recognize that there is a certain part of Dixieland that may be better suited to taller buildings, you know, where there's more vacant land, where there's less historic structures, where it's closer again to the commercial center of downtown. And similarly, we're going to be looking at the Garden District.
You must have read my mind, because I was about to ask you about the Garden District.
So the Garden District is that, yeah, I know, it's scary, is that part of downtown that is east of Lake Mirror and south of Lake Mirror. And in that area, again, there are some opportunities, you know, with vacant land and more of a potential for redevelopment, that we're going to be looking at a taller building height in that area.
So the Garden District was created, what, about 10 years ago?
Garden District was more like 20 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah,
time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. It's been in place for some time. And not a lot of redevelopment has happened in that area. And that was really what kind of started the conversation is, why isn't development happening in that area, or redevelopment? And raising building heights is seen as one way to encourage that.
Now, are we hearing from developers that raising building heights is a good thing?
Yes. Yeah. It eliminates one extra step. So under the old standards, if they wanted to go taller, they'd have to come before us and ask for a variance and go through a special board to get that approval. So this allows them to go taller without having to go through those steps.
And probably from a developer standpoint, the taller you go means more density, so you can put more people, especially for multifamily, you can have more apartments per square foot,
right,
or your footprint, mm-hmm, so it helps you recoup your initial cost.
Right.
So do we have any developers right now that you're talking to since we've made these changes? Have we seen, I know it's only been a short time, but have we seen any effects?
We haven't. We don't have any concrete projects, you know, coming in now and asking for those taller building heights, with it being so recent. But the expectation is that we may see something within the next 6 to 12 months. And then, you know, there's the project that the CRA is undertaking just north of Lake Mirror. You know, that right now isn't scheduled to go as high as what has been approved, but that may be something that then encourages other developers to come in and go taller.
So, Meriton, what's the height restriction on that?
The building height in there, it can go up to 120 feet under the changes that were approved.
Right. And we haven't heard from the developer that they would do any changes, or no. Could they do it at this point?
I believe that they're far enough along in their plans that it's pretty set that they're going to be, I think, around the four-story mark.
Got you. And that is scheduled to, are we going to start seeing some dirt turning here real soon? I know we've done a lot of infrastructure improvements there.
Yeah, they are going through the approval process now, so again, maybe the next 12 to 18 months, maybe see some actual groundbreaking activity and construction work.
So just from a standpoint for our viewers, how long did you work on this building height ordinance, or I guess it would be land code change, right?
Right, it was a change to our land development code.
Right.
And overall, the time frame from the initial discussions to when the commission took action last month, about a year and a half, almost 2 years.
A lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of work, a lot of communication, a lot of talking.
And a lot of research.
Yes.
Well, thank you for all you do, and
sure.
The changes are effective immediately upon
effective.
The vote, correct?
Yes, yep.
Well, thank you so much.
Great.
Enjoy the rest of your
Thanks,
day.
Thanks, Kevin. You too.
Yep, take care. Okay, so let me, planning manager, just go back to drawing board for SEUs. All right, well, so we're having another question by Thomas regarding Southeastern University. And as I told you before, Thomas, I'm going to send your message to LPD. We will definitely talk to them about that. And I guess your PA system is too loud. You're referring to their stadium. All right, well, thank you. What's going on, Bob Donahue?
I can't believe you guys asked me. I'm so excited, whatever. Nobody asked me to do these things, whatever. So I've been out in the hallway for 2 hours waiting.
Have you really?
No, I'm just kidding. But thanks so much. I appreciate the
Well, thank
the
you. I'm pulling up right now. Douglas Cook Park grand opening.
Yes, August 25th. We're really excited about it. Douglas Cook Park is going to be a great amenity to the neighborhood there on the north side over there by the old Carpenter's Home Church. 18 acres. It's going to have a multi-purpose field that will be used for football starting soon.
And this Saturday?
Yes.
First game?
Well, the 18th, they're going to play their first game, a little draw run. 25th is the official opening.
Right.
And it's going to have, the park has walking paths, it has a playground, it has a dog park, has a basketball, one of the nicest outdoor basketball courts in Lakeland. And with ample parking, and it's going to be, like I say, it's a park that the public can use 7 days a week, so we're really excited about that. We really don't have much on the north side, especially this is our first park past I-4, north of I-4, so we're really excited about that. And we just took a piece of property that was pretty much barren, and thanks to the Rotary Club, who donated $17,000 and change, to plant a bunch of trees all around it, around the walking path. So when we cut the ribbon on the 25th, it's going to be nice.
It is going to be real nice. And we cut the ribbon at 11:30.
Yes, sir.
On Saturday, August 25th. And if you don't know where Douglas Cook Park is, it's right across from, as Bob Donahue stated, from the old Carpenter's Home. It's now Lake Gibson Assisted Living Facility.
Right. Easy to find. Just head north on 98, turn right on Wedgwood, right there by Beef's. Turn right on Redwood and drive up a little bit. Look on the left-hand side.
Here's his favorite landmark.
That is my favorite landmark, whatever. Don Bosco will be happy I said that. So, but the thing about it is that also with the concession building we built with restrooms, it's probably the nicest concession building we've ever built.
And it's definitely one of the nicer youth football fields in the county, if not the nicest.
Yeah, it was really amazing. We did a lot of the grass work in-house. Blessed with the unbelievable grounds crew at Marshall Stadium. Brian French heads that group up. Brian's worked All-Star Games, World Series, Divisional Playoffs. He's big time.
Yeah.
And I got him and the old crew from Tigertown to come out there and grow the field in for me. And with like little to no maintenance, you know, whatever, maintenance dollars. So we're really pleased about it. It's really, really a nice field.
We were out there last week scoping it out for the grand opening and figuring everything out. And let me tell you, it's looking pretty good.
It did. Like I say, we're really excited about it. And it was like, you know, whatever, you know, remember back in the day, those low-do concerts? But this is a low-do budget. So we're really, like I say, we really think we hit the mark as far as saving the taxpayers money, but also bringing another amenity, another park to Lakeland.
And it's a good thing because we've got the senior living facility across the street, so the dog park. You really looked at the neighborhood of what was needed, the walking paths. So it truly is a neighborhood park, but it also, it's a win-win because of the youth facilities there. It's going to be great.
It is. Whatever. And like I say, we took amenities. We spent a lot of time going out there and observing. Which is really neat. We did, you know, we
met research.
There you go. we really spent a lot of time, and we'd go out there and I'll watch people from the neighborhood bring their dogs out there. I watch people go out there and just hit golf balls. And watch people go out there and play pickup basketball games. And so we tried to keep those amenities intact so the neighborhood use could be 24/7, and they wouldn't lose anything. That was the whole idea behind it. And we wanted to add to what they had.
That's great. And we got a special guest that's going to be there for the grand opening, right? For the
ribbon cutting? Besides Kevin Cook, our special guest is going to be Ray Lewis, who just got inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We'll have, the mayor. We'll have the Cook family, led by Renee Tucker, who runs Leigh Gibson Assisted Living.
Right.
And their family donated the property to us. But Ray Lewis is coming right off the Football Hall of Fame, and he's coming to Lakeland. And he's going to cut the ribbon for us along with our mayor and other dignitaries that will be there too.
And viewers, if you may not know, Ray Lewis grew up here in Lakeland area. He was a Kathleen High School football star and wrestling state champion. I have to add that. Went off to do great things as linebacker at the University of Miami and played his entire career, his pro football career, with the Baltimore Ravens.
And the thing about it was that what was neat about his induction ceremony is the fact that if you saw it, is that he highlighted Polk County and Lakeland quite a bit. He also recognized his old football coach, his two football coaches of it, Ernest Show, and his offensive line coach, and also had his wrestling coach there from high school. That was how much of an impact they made on his life, and now he's coming back to give something back.
Oh, that's good news.
Yes.
So he's got a number of events taking place that weekend. He's got a golf tournament that Friday. You can go to lakelandgov.net, and we have a link if you're interested in playing in that golf tournament. There's a number of celebrities. But that Saturday is going to be dedicated to the ribbon-cutting grand opening of Douglas Cook Park, August 25th at 11:30 a.m. And then we're going to have a motorcade run him over to Simpson Park at noon. He's going to have a private lunch at noon and then a tour of Simpson Park. He donated some time ago some money for a computer and study hall type room at Simpson Park. And he's going to come look at that room, and hopefully we can get some new computers out of him while he's here.
Hopefully. We'll give it a good one.
We hear that, Ray?
There's no shame in our game, you know. But no, we're really excited about it. Like I say, it gives us an opportunity time. If you've ever been to Simpson Park and you go into their game room, they have jerseys and frames of all the different kids that came through that facility that went on to college, went on the professional ranks. I mean, the list, I mean, it's really kind of a little mini Hall of Fame. So we're really excited about that, and I think we'll really get a kick out of it too, because we'll see his own jersey there.
And we really want to highlight one more time the Douglas Cook Park grand opening. Couldn't have been done without the generous donation from himself and his family as they were developing Lake Gibson Village Senior Living Community, and they're doing good things over there as well.
Yes, they are. I mean, I tell you what, they really made that into a nice facility. For those of you who live on the north side will probably realize that, is that how it really went down, that facility did. They brought it all back, restored it back. It's really a gorgeous facility now. They're going to, I guess, get ready to start the next phase of building, but like I say, it's a great amenity to that side of town. No question.
So while we're talking north side, tell us, are we going to start seeing some dirt moving for Lake Crago? We have the dog park there, but we're also planned is an entire recreation complex.
Yes, I tell you what, Lake Crago Park, we did first phase, which included a boat ramp, really nice boat ramp, and a dog park. The next phase will include three multi-purpose fields, three baseball fields, and an outdoor center. That's going to be amazing. We hope to break ground in October, but we're going to do an outdoor center in Lakeland. We've always had, most cities have traditional recreation center, pool-type complexes, whatever. This is total out-of-the-box thinking. This is going to be an outdoor center that's going to be situated on Lake, Little Lake Crago. It adjoins six other lakes, that were ultimately Lake Parker Park. And windows facing the backside of the lake with a nice porch, classrooms to be able to teach, and we're going to have a little boathouse. In fact, I'm going to Tampa this week to go look at get some ideas on that. Pam Page and I. Pam is our park designer, our deputy director, is amazing. The building that she's designed along with our architect is going to be second to none. And the thing about it is, like I say, this is an amenity to Lakeland that we've never done before. We're going to teach kayaking, canoeing, all the outdoor sports. We want to get the Boy Scouts out there, Girl Scouts out there. We want to do just a lot of different groups that we normally don't get to touch. And so we're really excited about that. It's more athletic facilities, but on the other hand, it's a building that offers so many programming opportunities.
So the outdoor center and the fields, is all that in phase one?
Phase two. The next phase coming up in October.
And that's in October.
Yes.
So we have been talking about Lake Crago Park for a long time, and it's awesome that it's coming to fruition.
Thank you. It's like I say, we're really excited about it. It's right off our Highway 33, Lakeland Hills Boulevard, when you go straight, right there by the Cancer Center. It's a beautiful park, beautiful piece of land. And the thing about it is 119 acres. And like I say, it gives us something totally different in Lakeland that we don't have.
And viewers, if something that's really, really cool is Lake Crago, the whole area there also connects to Tenerock. So we're going to have some walking paths and things of that nature eventually that will all connect that whole recreation area.
Yes. I mean, like I say, the possibilities are endless. And like I say, it's something we've never done before, but we're so excited to be able to do.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you. Your department always knocks it out of the park. You do a fantastic job. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday, August 25th at 11:30 a.m. for the grand opening and ribbon cutting of Douglas Cook Park. We also have Police Athletic League playing that day.
Yes, we call them the Powell Hurricanes, whatever. Woo. So that's another thing for Ray Lewis. He played at the University of Miami with the Hurricanes. We all know it's all about the U and whatever. So we're really excited about that.
So Marcus just sent a Facebook message in. He'd like to see a park developed for people with disabilities.
We, I tell you what, every one of our parks that we do, we do with ADA in mind, and we're really concentrating on that quite a bit. All the walking paths, the ramps, and whatever, the accessibility, when we did March and Stadium,
right. We
spent an unbelievable amount on accessibility because I wanted to make sure that where everybody else could go, folks that had a disability, they weren't restricted from enjoying those same elements. We really are going out of our way now to not only do in our newer parks, but also in our older parks, going back and retrofit some different areas to create better opportunities for ADA accessibility.
Well, Bob, thanks again, and thank you, Marcus, for the comment.
Yes, thank you.
And
good to see you.
Be a guest again, please.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the invite.
Thank you. And we are waiting for our next guest who's in the studio, and that's Liz Holliday. Liz is our webmaster here at the City of Lakeland. Liz, how are you today?
Hello, I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. So what's going on? Tell us about what's going on in the City of Lakeland's digital world.
All right. Well, we are a couple months into our weekly roundups now, and that is the biggest. I can't help it. That's the biggest thing that we've introduced to our digital world is our weekly roundups. That's a weekly summary of what happened that week in Lakeland, and they're usually released on Sundays. And we've been doing that. I see you've pulled it up here.
I have. So you can find that in a number of places. We post that on the city's Facebook page. We also post it on the webpage at lakelandgov.net. And all of our social media can be found how?
by searching for Lakeland Gov, and you'll find us. And so, also our podcast. I wanted to mention that too. That's also, if you search Lakeland Gov, wherever you find your podcast, you'll find the Lakeland Gov podcast. And we have new episodes of that out right now, actually.
Well, that is very, very cool. So the weekly roundup is a great way so you can be informed and engaged and know what happened with your local government over the previous week. So you can see if you, I'm on the website now, and you can see we had a number of things happen this past week. So it's just a good way you can easy one spot check all the news that happened over the past week. Something that our viewers, you're the first to hear this, viewers, so this is pretty awesome. We were the first to know. Our new app is supposed to be available at the end of the month.
Yes, yes.
We've been working on that for a while.
Yes, quite a while with our great IT team, and that will be very convenient for everyone to find out what's going on in Lakeland and report problems. And
so you'll see more of that. That's called Link to Lakeland, and we will be issuing more news on the new app very, very soon. Nate says, yay for podcasts. Thank you, Nate. I hope you're having a great day out there on the first day of school. Also want to wish all of our young Lakeland students, I hope you all had a wonderful first day of school. And remember, school safety, really pay attention behind those buses. Pay attention to the laws. When you see that stop arm come out of the buses, definitely stop. Got to adhere to that. We want you to be vigilant.
And also, send us your first day of school pictures to our Facebook page in a private message, and we will add those to our albums. This week only, though. So send them this week, and we will add them to our album.
And once again, we have Liz Holiday. All of our social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, what am I missing? Snapchat, Nextdoor, all of it can be found at Lakeland Gov. I want to thank Liz for all the hard work you do, and looking forward to that Link to Lakeland app available to you, our citizens, at the end of the month. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in to our August edition of Access Live. I'm Kevin Cook with the City of Lakeland. Thanks again.
And I'm Liz Holiday.